Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, ho, everyone. My name's Mr. Fruit, and welcome to the special sponsored Universe, but not actually sponsored by DC Universe episode, because Zack Snyder's Justice League Director's Cut is out. That is what we spend our majority of time talking about. The very beginning, we just give brief overview, like here's what we think, here's what we would rate it if we had to. Then we get into spoilers. So at that point, if you don't want to be spoiled, you can click away then. And then after that, we talk about little like headlines and stuff here and there. But the bulk of it is just definitely Justice League. And at the end, we have our Q&As as always. So if any or all of that sounds interesting, or even if it doesn't, you're legally obligated to listen and watch this, because I said so. So, enjoy this episode, and let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast, episode 78. 77?
67? 68?
77. 70s? Really? I think you're right. But for some reason, I thought we were in the 60s. But I think we're in the 70s.
No, it's just, we're definitely in the 70s, because we're past oxygen and all that kind of stuff. Now we're in uncharted territories.
Well, with this whole quarantine, like Claire showed me the picture again. It's everybody with birthdays in March and April again. And they're all just, it's like that sad guy on the chair by himself and like,
yeah,
a little party hat by himself. It's like, my second quarantine birthday.
Yeah, seriously. Sorry, Marchers.
Yeah, that's something. A little unluckers. Speaking of quarantine, though, and it's rather fitting what we're talking about today. Today,
77.
98%, I believe, AMC movie theaters are now open in the United States.
And I'm not going to go.
Same.
But hopefully that means good things for the stock I bought at a rather high price.
Oh, like you bought again because of that announcement? Or
No. I bought AMC a while ago.
Oh, okay. Like when it was the meme? Like,
yeah, and then just...
It was GME was the first meme, and then it was like AMC was two.
Well, and then there was
three was like BlackBerry.
Yeah, Nokia.
Sundial.
Well, Sundial was like a one day, you had to be there kind of thing. Most people weren't. Most people bought in when it was like 4,000% or whatever, and then they're like, I just lost everything. Because in like 2 hours it dipped. AMC's almost back even for me. But yeah, movie theaters slowly opening up. The world is slowly getting back, or at least America, on track.
It's recovering.
Yeah, because I think currently
nature is healing.
40% of all U.S. adults have gotten the vaccine so far, I think.
30%.
And I think I'm actually due on the list soon, because I technically have asthma, so I guess that bumps me up a little bit.
Oh, that's nice.
But we have to figure that out.
But
that also doesn't... It's like a separate thing, because I'm also with Kaiser and they have a different waiting list, so I guess I could get this vaccine through something else, but I don't know. Claire was telling me about it, and more specifically she was telling me what her dad told her, and he's in the whole government medical field thing, so he probably knows much better than I do. But AMC's opening up, and I had to bring that up because today's episode is all things DC.
Yes,
because it's been quarantined, so not much stuff happens. So
yeah,
a release like this is a big deal.
It's a pretty big deal.
Well, and it's a 4-hour movie. Like, you don't normally see a a theater or something kind of release like this ever.
Last time I think there was something like that was like Gone in the Wind. Now, granted, is it releasing in theaters? Probably.
This? The Snyder Cut?
No, I think it's just HBO just Max.
Yeah, I would think it's HBO Max. Because HBO Max paid for it and then gave Snyder like an additional like $50 million or something like that. I could be pulling that number out of my ass. But they gave him an additional number to like finish the movie.
That makes sense. Because that's what I was thinking too. It was like 4 hours in like a movie theater. Like who?
4 hours.
I'm going to say it. I marathoned it. Didn't take one break.
I also marathoned it.
I also marathoned it too. But I think with that being said, it was because I rather enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I not at one point was I like, I'm watching a 4 hour movie. Like, I felt that way like in Wonder Woman, the new one. Like I was like, I'm watching like this is
kind of. It was kind of a miss.
Like yeah. And like no point did I ever feel like that during the Justice League movie or like the new one. The old one, they're not even comparable. Like for people who are like, because like I was watching it with Sydney. She's like, didn't we see this already? And I was like, it's not even the same movie. Like, so like I had to explain to her that like the whole. Zack Snyder lost the movie because he showed this 4 hour movie to the like higher ups and they were like, no way we can put this movie. Like you got to bring this down to 2 hours. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. So then they're like, all right, we're going to get someone else to do it.
Well,
bad movie.
We should go ahead and say for those listening, we're not talking spoilers yet.
We will
later in the podcast though. Yeah. And when we do it, we'll give you a heads up if you want to click out or I'll possibly go back if I remember to be like, skip forward to audio time length or something like that. But so right now, no spoilers. We're just going to talk general overview. Rob said he enjoyed it. Blue, overview, just boom. What did you think? Doesn't have to go too deep right now. Pardon your regularly scheduled podcast listening for this short ad break.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG.
I thought for me it was like a solid like 6.5 out of 10 movie. I thought it was way better than the original Justice League.
Not hard to do.
Not hard to do, but it was so much better. I expected kind of a meme because Batman vs. Superman in all iterations was hot steaming dog piss.
Pretty bad too.
And this is the same dude who made that movie. But Justice League was, for what it was, There was definitely moments where I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm watching a 4-hour movie. But there was also definitely moments where I was hype. Like, I popped off, and a lot of the additions, there was a character I did not care about at all in the original, and by the end of the Zack Snyder cut, was my favorite character in the whole movie. Totally. So
you can say name, it's not really a spoiler.
Cyborg is dope.
Oh yeah.
I love Cyborg now.
Because he actually got
They did Cyborg right.
Yeah. And Cyborg's already one of my favorite characters, and I hated him in the original, and in Zack Snyder cut, I genuinely cared about Cyborg. And that's more than I could say about the rest of the characters in the movie. But I thought it was, for what it was pretty good. 6.5 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
That's a decent still some, blue score. That's
still
a
some decent pretty, blue. Still some pretty terrible moments, which we'll go into.
Yeah.
So, Rob, if you had to give it a score, what would you have given it?
On my scale, for a 4-hour movie, you know, like,
I'll tell
7.5, 8, like somewhere around there. Like the,
I think the you longest would think
in a 4-hour movie. Yeah. I would, huh?
Well, I'm comparing it to like The Irishman, which is probably the longest movie I've sat through.
I heard was too. I had no desire to sit through that.
That was shorter than this, I think, and comparatively, it felt 3 times longer.
Uh-huh.
Irishman.
And my thing is like, I'm a big DC fan. I think I've said this before. When I was a kid, it was the Justice League cartoon show.
Yeah, Marvel was stupid.
It wasn't that Marvel was stupid. I just thought they were for the toddlers. You know, I thought my older, cooler kids liked the DC and like the.
We had Blue Minecraft. Eating. They had Roblox.
They know? Liked Marvel. You know what I mean? Like, and I loved the Justice League cartoon show on the on Cartoon Network. I thought it was super awesome. So keep that in mind too when I like give these scores. So I know not many people can sit through a 4-hour superhero movie, but like a 4-hour superhero Justice League movie to 10-year-old Rob sounds like crack cocaine. You know what I mean? So I give it an 8. I give it an 8, which is a really good score.
Good score.
Way higher than I thought I would give it.
So I'll say brief overview for me. I hated it.
Really?
Is what I'm not going to say. I love it.
I loved it. I said your response is dork. I was like, baited? I was baited.
I loved it.
Good. That's good to hear.
Dare I say I'd put it like 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I enjoyed it that much.
I liked it a lot. But there. Okay, so give your overview. Let me hear it. Like what?
Well, first,
what about it than the old one?
It was a 4-hour movie, and I wanted it to keep going. I'll put that. And like, at no point was I like, bro, it's been a while, or like, are we getting towards the end? Or parts where I was losing interest, I was dialed in the whole time. I was about it, and I think the additions. I was going to say the additions added. Hold on, the additions helped a whole bunch. And I feel like I just got more of everything I wanted, and it made it much more. Like, I guess the argument can be made, like, it's still Zack Snyder's fault that he couldn't get his vision into 2.5 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I think
he did somehow make it a part one or part two or something like that. Or...
But he definitely did it in 4 hours. So he had the right idea. It's just that, you know, the pushback and everything was just like, we can't release something that long. Which is understandable. I think the average audience isn't going to be like, oh, let's go to the theater today. Oh, here's a 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
About like, superheroes. Let's go watch that.
And old executive heads would never let that slide by either. Like, no way they would let a 4-hour movie. Like,
so we can get into the nitty gritty stuff later, but all around, it was almost as fantastic as Henry Cavill's muscles. Or Henry Cavill. I forget which one it is. I say it wrong.
Henry Cavill.
Is it Cavill?
I don't think anyone calls him Cavill.
I think I said Cavill, and then it was one way or the other. I think I said Cavill, and they said, no, it's Cavill, or I said Cavill, and they said it's Cavill.
I say that really handsome guy I wish I looked like. That guy.
Yeah, that's the only thing that took me out of the movie. I was sitting there like, I gotta go get the pump, dude. Like, look at that back. So anyway, aside from me simping over Henry, I really liked it. And that's my brief overview. We can go now more into detail and spoilers. So if you wanted just the overview and now you want to go see it yourself or whatever and wait for your own opinions, do that. I will say that's what I did. Early reviews and stuff were coming in about the movie. I stayed away from
everything. I didn't look either. Yeah. Yeah, I did too. I stay away from everything.
I stay away from that for almost everything now, but especially this. I don't want anyone even giving me or tainting my perception of what I'm about to watch. I don't want to have any of this kind of stuff.
He wants to be pure.
Yeah.
It's like in the back of your mind, you're going to try and like think about why that guy thought that way the entire movie.
There should be subliminal stuff, and then I'll be thinking, and they're like, well, he thought this. Why would he? Whereas if I just go in myself completely, I know exactly where I stand and what I thought on my own stances, then I can compare it to what people are saying. And then I know that it wasn't influenced by any outside sources. Like during the beginning of the movie, I think Claire was saying something like, did you know when they were like reshooting? I was like, babe, let me watch the movie. Yeah, I was like, let me watch these 4 hours. I'm going to.
Stop it.
Let me immerse myself. I don't want to know about any of that stuff. Let's just.
Man, you know. Claire's even a manga reader in the movies. Like when
she was afterwards, or well, even before, she's like, yeah, I've been seeing all the reviews. I'm like, babe, stop. Don't tell me. I don't want to know the reviews. I don't look them up for a reason.
I do not hear it.
In fact, I got upset with her because when we decided we were going to like watch it before this week's podcast, so we pushed the recording a little bit later. That night or whatever, I was like, babe, like, can you look up what time the movie comes out? Because I thought it was coming out like Thursday midnight.
Yeah, so, no, it had already been out that.
Like, yeah, day. So I like wanted to clear it up. And then she's like, says here, Zack Snyder's Justice League falls short and is too long. And she's like, read me a review. I was like, I like stopped. I was like, babe, what are you doing? She's like, I'm reading you. Did I say I want the date, the time? Tell me the time. I don't want to know what people are thinking. She's like, well, how was I supposed to know? I thought you, he says, right. And she like keeps reading it. I'm like, just tell me the time. So like, I don't want the reviews. I don't want to know what people are thinking right now. We had a little tiff.
That's funny.
But yeah, I was sitting there like, whoa.
Like, what are you doing?
That doesn't sound like a time. And then she's like, I can't find it.
Yeah, it had come out like, because I had messaged Blue that morning and I had let him into, let him use my HBO.
Yeah. So I did have to end my workout early though, because it was that day. I was like, it's almost like 5 o'clock. If I don't start this movie now, like, it's going to be my bedtime.
Yeah, we started at 4, I think, and we finished around like 8:30. I had to stop it for like 30 minutes because Sydney had to go and like check something. And the whole time I was like, please get home. Please get home. I want it. And it was in a juicy scene too. It was a.
Okay, well, we're technically talking spoilers. So what scene was it?
Okay, we are talking spoilers. We are here.
All right. Yeah, I guess if we should just, there's no way we're just going to say this for the rest of the podcast. Let's be real. No.
Okay. Now,
spoiler talk starts now.
Okay.
Mr. Fruit will put the timestamp in the video. He will, in the description, will be like, spoiler talk starts at this time. All right, everyone. Here we go.
Well, one thing I will say about this movie.
I can't believe they showed Henry's penis. Wait, what?
That they minus one off the bat.
How does he walk around with that thing?
And I'm sure you guys could guess what it was. That honestly, already out the bat, made the movie a 9 out of 10. I don't care if it was a perfect movie; it would have still been a 9 out of 10.
Wait, what?
The 4:3 aspect ratio, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my
god! Dog shit.
Admittedly, I hated it at the start, and by the end of the movie, I pretty much forgot that it was.
Sure, yeah, I forgot about it, but like for the first hour and a half, it is pretty annoying and hard for me to not feel like I'm watching a TikTok or something, or like something like a movie that was made for the phone, or I don't know. I hate it. I felt like 25% or 30% of my TV was useless.
I did pause it at like 6 minutes because I was like, did we start it in like the wrong?
Yeah.
I choose the wrong aspect ratio, and I looked it up, and I was like, man. And then I was like, well, he might also do a thing, because it was still, it felt like there was like this before time, so I was like, maybe he'll, movies have done it where they'll change aspect ratio. It's rare. I was like, maybe he'll just change aspect ratio.
WandaVision.
Yeah, something like that, for instance. And And it just stayed that way. And honestly, I didn't care at all. I just looked it up because I was curious why he did it. And I think I actually...
I was wondering, like, I saw, like, to stick to his creative vision. I'm like,
as cool as that sounds, the movie was, from what I'm understanding, is the intention was it was shot for IMAX.
Yeah.
And that aspect ratio,
if you guys have seen IMAX, yeah, and that ratio and IMAX, oof, it's hot.
I haven't seen an IMAX movie since I was a Christian.
On modern widescreen TVs, 4x3 does not look good. And also, apparently, Zack Snyder said, heroes, right, superheroes tend to be very vertical, and he wanted to capture them in a vertical aspect, and he said, no one's really doing that. In my opinion,
I agree.
Total fucking bullshit. But...
Well, I read something that when he was filming, I think... For Superman versus Batman or something, some IMAX scenes. Apparently, he just loved the full screen look. Like the 1.3 aspect ratio instead of the 1.433 or whatever. And so that was just part of it. He's like, yeah, I like this. And honestly, you know, sure. I literally, after probably an hour, I didn't even notice anymore.
I didn't notice after an hour.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It would look better if it was 1080, like, you know, normal
I
aspect
ratio. I agree.
Like, it would have looked better. Sure, I forgot about it, but it was just annoying.
Fair enough. So, but then, so you said Sydney left during some scene. What scene was it?
Oh, it was when Stephen Wolf gets the mother box. Need to work on that name, by the way. That is probably, like, Infinity Stones is, like, cool and sounds easy to remember. Mother box, you know.
Well, see, I was thinking about it too. It's like, but you have to like name it something, because you could name it something really strange.
Yeah,
it's like, we need people to understand what the mother box is. It is this box.
Mother box.
I agree. It doesn't have the same, but I was also thinking about it.
I couldn't think of one. Like,
yeah, I was like, but what would I name it? I don't know. Mother box works, right? Like, it does the job. Is it like, mother box.
Is it as good as Infinity Stone? No.
Yeah.
So it was when
Stephen Wolf
is grabbing the mother box from Cyborg's dad, and Cyborg's dad like activates it, and then like when you're thinking about it, you're like, what the fuck did he just do that? Like, didn't do anything. He just killed himself. But then you learn, like, that's why I was like, that's the first part of the movie where I was like, that was stupid. They just like made his dad die for no apparent reason ever, and then you find out that like. His dad made it like the hottest thing on Earth. So Batman's like, I'll use my satellite. And then he uses his satellite. Okay, six satellites. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, six. Please. My man.
Okay. Yeah, but Cyborg, they did. I love the Flash, dude. You know, I was telling Sydney this. I think it is extremely hard to interpret super speed in. It's easy to do in comics and stuff because, like, it's just pictures. You know what I mean? With it's hard to representate super fast speed, but also keep in the continuity of time and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was really cool how he interpreted the Flash's kind of his speed and all that kind of stuff, and how he moves and like just slightly moves all that kind of stuff, and like to break the glass, just slowly touches it, and he doesn't grab her out of the thing. He has to slowly, you know, pull it. Just those little like details is that. That was probably my favorite scene in that whole movie was that car crash. As cliche as that sounds, because I know when he was making that, he was like, this is the scene people are going to like. And I loved it. Did you hate that scene, Blue?
That scene made me uncomfortable.
Okay.
It was
a little weird.
I was like, just save her, dude. And then he pushes her hair back.
It just kind of sounds like lonely he is.
He grabs a glizzy. And I'm just here like, bro.
The glizzy made
just,
sense, though.
I was like, bro, just save her.
When he was pushing the hair, I was okay. Like, all right, dog. Like,
come on. All right, bro. Like, just save her. I have to say my favorite shot in the movie, which I popped off, was him reversing time. At the end of the movie.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to bring that up because I'll be honest.
That was badass too. Sydney wasn't about it, but I loved it.
I've blocked out most of the original Justice League. That wasn't in it, right?
No, not at all.
That wasn't not That's even close.
Like, Justice League gets the auto dub. Like they have no problem winning. Flash literally has to save the day.
Well, that's what I was, because I was sitting here, I was like, this is sick. I think I would have remembered this. Like,
yeah, no, you would have absolutely remembered it.
Well, and my favorite part was one, in this one, it did a way better job of like slowly leading you up into that moment of Flash's powers. Because one, Batman talks about how he had this premonition, essentially. Because if you remember, I think it was Batman vs. Superman. The Flash just randomly showed up in his cave and was like, Lois Lane is the key. And then left. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And he talked about, like, I had a premonition or whatever that, like, he was talking to Wonder Woman. Like, he showed up here, and now he's over there, blah, blah, blah. And that's when I remembered. So it's like, okay, time travel. But clearly he hasn't figured that out yet. But then when he was trying to, when he was in Superman's ship trying to get a charge big enough for the mother box.
Yeah, the time reversal.
The time, just a little bit. Box just start to come up, and I was like, he's starting to bend time. And then, yeah, and then at the very end, I was like, he's going to do it. He's going to do the thing. And then he did the thing, and it was sick.
Oh, I popped up. Yeah, well, that's really my favorite part like running of this film.
And behind him is the time coming back.
It's those small little nods to that are like alluding to something bigger. That's the biggest strength of this film, is context of everything. Like, if you don't have this context, things just don't make sense. And so much of that got removed in the...
It was like an hour and a half of context now.
and I mean, there's so much context to that that Zack Snyder lost that just made the movie without it look really stupid. Like him, like you said, the dude blowing himself up for no reason.
Yeah,
it wasn't for no reason. They literally take 10 seconds out of the movie to be like, wait a minute, he superheated it.
Oh, yeah.
He marked it. Why was that not in the original cut?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, like that makes sense.
So
dumb. I don't. But if his dad died like that in the first movie, I don't even remotely remember that. Like I have that first Justice League movie.
Well, they
like,
also recast his dad. That whole dad was an entire recast for that movie.
And then yeah, so the bending of time and stuff, and then like in that scene when it's like you see Superman's like body start reforming like from the blood.
Oh,
from
yeah,
that was sick. And
Cyborg.
Like you see his hands, yeah. Yeah, it was really, really cool.
I'll still say, still gets me, honestly, as nerdy as it sounds, still gave me goosebumps though. When Superman comes back and the Flash slows time and Superman's still just like follows him and he's like, what the? That's still, I get that.
I still knew
stuff.
That was coming Beans. And it still made me laugh.
I thought, to me, though, it's so sick, like, because it just hypes up even more. Like, you really understand, like, dude, like, what the How fudge do you OP. Do against Superman? Yeah, like,
because there's nobody like that in the Marvel Universe, I don't think. There's no apparent, like,
thank
OP,
God.
Like,
well,
thank God.
Honestly, because, it kind of feels like Scarlet Witch is getting there.
Scarlet Witch is getting there. I'm honestly very thankful they don't have a character like that in Marvel, because Superman was my least favorite part of this film.
He's
my least favorite part of this
film. It's hard to make Superman not, because if you don't make Superman the most powerful, and if you just whoop Stephen Wolf's ass,
it's not really about the power level. It's just like, I feel like Superman's just so fucking boring.
You didn't like the little... Okay, wait. I just remember my favorite scene. Can we talk about the Martian Manhunter and like how that was like the sickest like cameo ever? First of all, it's Lois Lane, and what you believe is Clark Kent's mom or Superman's mom. And they're having a conversation and she's like, you need to move on and you need to move forward. And like, I think she convinces her to go see him or something like that.
Trying to get it back to the land of living, go back to work, whatever. Like, just exist again.
And so, she like leaves, and you come to find out that it's like this alien guy who is the Martian Manhunter, who I love and was my favorite character, and who I think is so fucking badass. And
I love his design.
I literally was like,
yeah, his design was sick.
Sydney was like, oh, there's Dark Side. And I was like, no. I was like, no. I was like, I don't think that was him. I don't know who that was. I was like, but I think that was the Martian Manhunter. And then, like, it goes the whole movie, and you don't see any more Martian Manhunter until the end. And then he, like, comes down and basically, like, just joins the Justice League, pretty much, and is like, my journey has brought me to Earth, and I, like, Earth is in my protection now.
Well, he said something like, turns out, like, I too have a stake in Earth now, or whatever. Like, I want
to protect it. I need to protect this Earth for some apparent reason. And then he's like, you can call me the Martian Manhunter. And he flies. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to never see anything of this ever again. Like,
we'll talk about that later.
But that was super sick. That was one of my favorite cameos. Something I did not expect from this movie, that we would get a Martian Manhunter cameo. Well, that made me hype.
Yeah, well, I guess we kind of touched on it because we're going all over the place. But the epilogue just made me sad because honestly, I was like, bro, if this is what they could have done and kept going, like, I think
you would think the next movie would be Darkseid wins, and then that epilogue would be the movie after that.
The whole universe they were setting up was like way more interesting now. Like, I actually cared about characters, and I was like, and then it kind of made me sad because I was like, odds are this is it though. Like,
we'll never see any of this.
This was the swan song. He was like, this is what it was supposed to be.
HBO had the money to fund this universe.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get another shot at it.
Well, Zack Snyder said WB, Warner Brothers has no interest in doing anything else with him. So, and this was his vision. Fuck them. So, I have no idea.
What are you saying, Blue?
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they, I mean, they got, fans literally willed this into existence. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they willed more of the universe into existence.
What about Cyborg Blue specifically did you like? Like,
dude,
that made him your likable character.
So for me, a lot of my opinion of the movie didn't change from the original to the new cut when it came to characters. Like, I still hate Batman and Superman, how they're portrayed.
I don't blame you for that.
Batman got a little better. Superman honestly got worse. He's eternally boring in this universe. Cyborg, though, holy shit.
Layers.
I love Cyborg. When Cyborg's backstory is like one of the sickest. Like, he's just like, he's this dude with a heart of gold that just gets played this hand, and it turns out that the hand he's played is actually, you know, a pretty good hand. And then when I first heard about Justice League, I was like, well, they're gonna ruin Cyborg. I love this character. And then in this recut, like, oh my God, they got the story perfect. Like, the backstory was literally, like, it couldn't be more perfect. Dude, when
the stimmy
when he hit him with the Joe Bucks, I was like, that is so dope. And I was like, why was this not like its own movie? Like, why didn't Cyborg get his own standalone movie? That was like my recurring thing, where it's like, why did we not
that
get a
whole
Flash?
Little intro could have been a movie. He's cool.
I still stand by the fact, though, that I still agree that they overall rushed. 100%. Like, they were
no
I
doubt.
Think we talked
they
about
were just
they
were playing catch up.
Yeah, they were trying to compete. Like, at the time they were trying to do it,
too
we're
much
practically
too soon.
We're practically getting to, you know, Infinity or Avengers Infinity War or whatever.
Yeah, it's like you do the first. It's like you do the first cat. That's the reason why the universe, Zack Snyder's universe, is still ruined for me. Is it's like if you did the first Avenger with Captain America, and you did Iron Man 1, and then immediately Marvel Civil War.
Yeah,
like, it's just way too soon.
And yeah. I mean, I want to say that wasn't. If I want to say that, you know, if he had, in a perfect world, he would have done it slower, I think.
Yeah.
But I have to imagine.
Oh, yeah.
He got rushed. Like, hey.
Yeah, Warner Bros. Was like, we need an Avengers competitor, like, right now.
Yeah. So I still think that hurts.
Yeah.
Justice League as all, because I mean, at this point, as far as we know, the universe that they tried to create as is dead, aside from like Wonder Woman, and I guess she's just her own thing now. So watching that, I feel like, though, we practically got like a different movie, because it It almost 100% felt like
not even yeah,
like
night and day.
It was giving us more so what we the context, like you said, the context we needed leading up to what was Justice League that made way more sense. Because they
way more sense.
Like half of the new footage was Cyborg, rightfully so. He finally it was like, okay, here's this dude, instead of just like, wait, what? Okay, and then he's there, and then okay, and that's it. And then even just like I enjoyed that flashing, like Rob said, just because even still that was just a little bit more we saw of his character even before it all happened. That was a little weird.
And then that revert, but that time reversal scene. That's like
they never explain how he gets his powers, right? They just kind of they're just like who are
given
you?
Given his own movie, which I think they
are right?
getting his own movie, right?
I hope I love him.
We'll see
something like that.
Ezra, right? What's his what's the actor's name?
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit to jump back, but you know the nightmare at the very end.
Yeah,
the K like nightmare because it's Batman. It seemed like that was a different actor for the Flash.
It was. I'm sure they couldn't get Ezra or something.
I'm pretty sure he was just full CG in that flashback.
He wasn't like recast or anything, though.
It was
just,
I think
they just did full CG.
Okay. I think they just
and it just
threw
didn't look good. Yeah. No, I don't even think they threw a guy. I think that was legit.
Really?
I think that was legit a full CG person.
Oh yeah, that was shit.
That makes more sense though, because I was like, wait.
No,
is
I didn't take it as a recast. I took it as a. They couldn't probably get them because of COVID.
Well, because that was one of the reshoot scenes, which we can talk about
later. That scene was sick. And then the Joker relationship with Batman and the kind of shit they allude to, like in their conversation, is like the dream Batman relationship with Joker I've always wanted.
I appreciate it too because it called back to the Batman versus Superman where we saw Robin's suit hung up with like the Joker writing on it. And he pretty much said, like, remember when I killed your adopted son? Like, remember when I killed Robin? And I was like, oh.
Well, and it made it seem like it was the one, like, I don't know if it's they alluded to, like, the Joker cutting his face off because the Joker had cuts on his face or, like, when he pins somebody's face on his face. I don't know. It was really cool. And I want to see more Jared Leto Joker. I said it.
Can I do a? I'm gonna do a compliment sandwich. The line, "Why would you send a boy wonder to do a man's job?" S tier. God damn.
Yeah.
I was like Jared Leto.
Going in.
Damn. Maybe you should play Joker. Well, I don't know why they. Damn. They should have given you a chance. I'm gonna get heat for this, and that's okay.
Okay. That's okay.
I thought the Batman Joker scene was like the worst scene in the whole movie.
Really? I thought it was corny when he was like, "I'm gonna fucking kill you." I thought that was corny.
I don't know what Jared Leto was going for in the monologue with Batman. And Batman, when he was like, it took me out of the movie so quick where he was like, "And make no mistake, I will fucking kill you."
Yeah, that
was like, I was like, "Oh my god, dude!" Like, Zack Snyder wrote this directly, didn't he? And
I'll be honest, I like.
I just thought, all right. To each their own. I just thought that was like the.
It felt like fanfare,
see, I
and that was
monologue.
Fine.
It felt like a really weird YouTube fan fan film for me, and it was really bad. There was a couple lines in their interaction that was just really good, but for the most part, I was my least favorite part of the movie.
But that would have
been sorry.
Like that's like a movie I'd want to see though, and like that's what I think.
Given
in that
a better.
Dream.
Is yeah,
like,
given
that's what would have come.
Given more, I think I do want to see that because, like all these storylines in DC are so fucking interesting, and I mean DC's comic books are way more interesting than Marvel's base like storylines. Like a lot of Marvel stuff is joining from DC, so I was really excited. Like we got Darkseid. Joker is just like the ultimate villain, but that portrayal of Joker in the Nightmare was just not it for me. I will say, I know a lot of people didn't like Joker's laugh, but I love Joker's laugh.
I did too.
I like that. It just felt
just a different
creepy,
different kind.
Yeah.
I love Joker's laugh. The little wheezes. I thought that was dope. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I thought that was
like
a nice touch.
I liked it.
I'll say I like that. I still like that. Joker portrayal though better than the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, even
with some lackluster lines.
So, Boy Wonderline, S tier. The dialogue, which is my main issue with this whole movie, is the dialogue is always pretty bad. The dialogue, pretty awful. It did sell me on Jared Loker. It did sell me on Jared Leto being Joker, though. Like, no meme. I think Jared Leto could be a great Joker if they gave him a shot, but we probably won't get that shot. Feels bad.
Well, so again, we're hopping all over the place because first off, it's a 4-hour movie, so there's plenty of stuff to talk about. But going back to that scene where the Martian Manhunter first talks to Lois in disguise as Clark Kent's mom.
Dude, he's so cool.
I think it was that moment. Yeah, she goes to get her ID card, and I see the pregnancy test. And I was like, well, that's not like just something you randomly put in a scene.
And so that's not something you delete from a movie either.
And so, but I was left thinking about it.
You fat douchebag.
I was left thinking about it. And I was like, there has to be something to that. And I found an article this morning where Zack Snyder pretty much said, this is what he didn't exactly explain everything, but he said this is where he wanted to take the universe if it had worked. And it had to do exactly with Superman's son. And according to Vanity Fair and Snyder's planned storyline, Batman would have sacrificed himself during the course of the third Justice League film as part of a plan to ensure Darkseid is defeated. Years later, Superman would bestow the responsibilities of Batman onto his son. So Superman's son would become Batman. That would have been sick! Yeah.
We would have got a recast Ben Affleck.
And then we could have gone with a new Batman, younger Batman. Think like Batman Beyond. That'd be sick.
What the fuck? Yeah.
But so like,
God damn it, Joss Whedon.
It goes to show he had the whole thing planned out.
But like, that's a bummer. How would you cut that 4-hour movie? If I was in charge of cutting that 4-hour movie into 2 hours, dude, that'd be impossible.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He didn't have a choice, is what I'm understanding. Like,
and the fact, it was like they expected him, because then again, how do you make a Justice League film where you have no backstory on more than half of the characters in Justice League?
Yeah.
Compelling in a 2.5-hour movie. Like, I honestly think he probably did the best he could.
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem. He should have had more time. Another movie. Give us a complete different, like, Cyborg and Flash movie. Suddenly you don't need any of that. You know?
We needed a Cyborg and Flash movie before we got...
Yeah.
Before we got Batman vs. Superman and before we got Justice League.
100%. I agree.
If we got those, I would have been hype.
Yeah, my...
But we didn't.
My little brother texted me, who's like super into comic books and like reads all the comics and stuff, and was like, the fact that they mentioned like the anti-life equation was like...
That finally gave it a lot more... That whole backstory they added gave it way more...
It was so sick. Like, I remember being in the movie, the original movie, and being like, I want to see that. Like, I want to see that scene. And then, like, nothing. You didn't see any of that. And then in this movie, you fucking see like a 25 minute battle.
Yeah.
Like, it's sweet.
There was, what you call it? What the fudge? The archer. What? I can't remember. It starts with an A, I think.
Oh, Athenius or Athenius.
Yeah, for the life of me, I can't remember. But yeah, it was like next to Zeus and stuff, and you saw the god and everybody fighting together. I was like,
and then like sick. Hercules is there too. Like it's so cool. And then Amazon.
And then he just slices the neck open of Darkseid, and he's just like bleeding out. I was like, this is sick.
Yeah, it's so sick. And then I guess like the anti-life equation, what gives like Darkseid like control of like every sentient life on planet. And apparently my little brother was saying that they kind of nerfed Darkseid, but I mean, you kind of have to, like, cause apparently Darkseid can literally do anything and everything.
Well, yeah, the backstory of the anti-life is that's kind of the thing that Darkseid always is always chasing in comics. And it's for good reason. Like, literally, the anti-life equation. I'm going to simplify it. When Darkseid has the anti-life equation, Darkseid could be like, yo, you should kill yourself. And you'd be like, fuck, he's right.
You got a good point.
I'm shit, he's right. I'm dead now. I'm going to kill myself. So the anti-life equation basically is
a way to control just any sense of life. Just a
way to control people's minds.
It's called an anti-life for a reason, right? Like he can be, he basically has the ability to tell. And if he had like a way to like to talk to everything in the universe, which would not be difficult for Darkseid, it would be like, yo, kill yourself. Shit, all right. Kill self.
Yeah.
Which is what Darkseid wants. So.
And it's on Earth. Like it's
on Earth. When they did the anti-life equation, I was like, okay, they're doing this. All right. They're doing this. Okay. I will say one of the plot holes I really didn't like is the fact that they know they left the mother boxes on the planet they left anti-life on.
Yeah, why? That's what I was wondering. Like, how do you not know that?
Yeah. Like Steppenwolf was like, I found anti-life, and they were like, wait, really? And it was like, yeah, it's on the same planet where all the mother boxes are. And they're just like, oh fuck, for real, dude? Yeah, and I was just like,
that was my
why thing. Wouldn't you? I feel like that's kind of a gift. Like you left anti-life on the same planet you left the mother boxes. Like what? All right, whatever. I'll allow it. Keep going.
It's been 100. He's 100,000 planets later. You know, he's like, yeah, oh, that's right.
Why I was like, you know? I'm believing in flying dudes and all that kind of stuff. Like, whatever, go for it.
Well,
I liked how they communicated. I thought that was a really cool touch. Like how like he burns the metal or whatever.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Talks to someone. I thought that was a cool way of doing that.
Pardon your regularly scheduled podcast listening for this short ad break.
Well, it also like made the whole villain arc make more sense too, because he's like, well, I'm trying to redeem myself. And he's like, wait a second. Like I can impress him now. Like this is what he's been looking for. The only planet to ever beat him. And so I was like, I'm buying into it. And I was like, can't wait to see where this goes. And I remember it's like that probably won't. That's probably it. Unfortunately. Because like the way it ends, it set up like 7 different movies if it wanted to.
Seriously. Like you said, it's Martian Manhunter. It set up Cyborg, Flash,
probably different,
Wonder Woman.
A different Batman, because we have Deathstroke show up trying to hunt Batman. Lex Luthor escapes.
Now that was Will Smith's character, right? Or no?
No. Like, Will Smith was Deadshot. That's
okay, Deadshot and Deathstroke are two different
people. Different people, yeah. And that was played by Joey, the wife of that girl in Modern Family.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, the Gloria, what the fudge? You would know her if I show you. But he's great. So I like seeing Sophia his character. Vergara? Yeah, her husband.
I mean, I just know that show. I don't know like any specific.
He's a big D&D guy too, actually. That's cool. But anyway, yeah, all these different things showing up, like Martian Manhunter showing up. You had the whole Lex Luthor thing and everything. I feel like there's even some more cameos.
I don't care about Aquaman, and this new cut didn't make me care anymore about or the Aquinians.
I like Aquaman a lot more in his movie. In this movie, he's still like a dude, bro.
Yeah, like I appreciate the like I like his interpretation of Aquaman. Like I don't not like that. It's just like the Athenians or just their kind of, I don't know. I didn't like it.
The only other thing I didn't like
bore me. That was the only thing that bored me.
I don't know why Zack Snyder like keeps making Atlantis look like a shithole. Whereas
because I think it's supposed to be like past its prime or whatever, right? Like ever since the king died or something.
No, did you watch Aquaman?
It was a little while ago.
It was way better. It was like, this is beautiful.
I know.
They always make like the Atlantis like broken down and run down. And,
yeah,
like,
they make it look like a total shithole. And I was like, why do they keep making it like a shithole? I don't get it.
I see what you're saying.
What else I liked? They set up Green Lantern movies. You know when that Green Lantern dude dies and then the ring flies off. Set up Green Lantern. And I love Green Lantern.
I like
Green
how for Lantern a second he's dirty. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, he's like,
it's like,
yeah, and the ring's like, you ain't grabbing me. Like, I thought that was really cool. And then, like, you see, we need a Green Lantern and not like the Ryan Reynolds Green
Give him
Lantern.
Another Green shot, Lantern. Dude. Give
John
him
Stewart, something like that. Like,
a Green Lantern in this universe would be sick.
Oh, so cool. I love the Green Lantern. Green Lantern and the Martian Manhunter, S tier. Which may be a hot take.
Well, so what I like to... Well, one, I... Superman is obviously OP. That's all there is to it.
Yeah,
you lose. I think I might have mentioned it. I like how they did it in Justice League, and I like it even more in this one. They still set it up to be like, yo, this is how strong he is. And then when he finally shows up, we're going to show you just how strong. Like, it felt like, yeah.
Yeah,
Superman's okay. Superman is the man. Game changer, yeah. And so I think they did a good job of actually not just making it feel like he rolls over everything. Although he does, but they set it up so like it just wasn't OP.
When he does, it has a payoff and yeah, not feel like a cop out. Like yeah, Superman exactly. showed up, everything's okay.
And like there's even a little callback, like Steppenwolf, when he was like reporting back, he's like, there are no sign of like Kryptonians. Because like evidently they know like
yeah.
Yo, those are bad dudes. Like, we avoid them if we can. So they even know, like, across all these worlds they've gone to, it's like, yo, Kryptonians, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then when he shows up, well, one, I still love the little scene when he's fighting the Justice League. Like,
they
with the Flash.
They fixed the weird mouth thing.
Yeah, the mustache thing.
That wasn't there anymore.
But, like, when he does with the Flash interaction, then with Wonder Woman, she headbutts him. He's like, okay, kaboosh! And just, like, headbutts her down. Those little things.
Well,
and
she headbutts him. He's like, oh. Like,
yeah, he's like, oh, okay. I'll play this game. And then still, like, I love it when he shows up. Like, it's just like this whole movie, you're like, dude, Steppenwolf's like, nobody stands a chance.
His armor was sick. I was a fan. Yeah. I thought his armor was sweet.
But he shows up, and then Superman throws him around like a ragdoll. And just sitting there, just like, boosh, boosh, just like, just ground pounding him.
I have a hot take.
Yeah, hit me with it.
I did not like Superman's black suit.
I did.
Why isn't he wearing the normal one? Like, is there a
reason
he's wearing the black suit? Or
he's been, like, I think it was more so metaphoric, like he's been reborn.
Yeah, I will say the symbolically choosing the black suit was a little weird, but it grew on me because it looks sick.
I'm weird. I like the blue with the red and the
I do too.
I think that looks better. It makes more sense in context. But God, man, like that black suit, like, it's so nice. I don't think Batman and Superman should ever be sharing the same color palette. Because at the end shot where it just has all the Justice League, I was like,
yeah,
this
Batman
should
have come out with his red and blue suit.
Yeah, this would look way better if they didn't have the same color suit on.
Suit?
But
he's like, yeah, I just got it.
Yeah,
but God, that black suit's sick though.
Oh, you know what I really liked too? I thought it was really cool that like Cyborg like talks to machines. Like he's like, this one wants to fly. He's like, you talk to machines.
Why was that not in the original movie?
It was so cool. I was like, that is so interesting. Like, of course he can talk to like machines and technology and stuff like that. I was like, that just makes sense, you know?
Oh, I forgot the name, but they set up another superhero. He was the assistant to his dad at the end.
Oh, that flew over my head. I knew when they were like, when he said something.
Why literally
paused
it? I was like, I don't remember that name. Look it up because that has to be some. And it was.
Yeah, I heard that and I was like, I don't know who that is, but that means something.
You don't just name drop some random dude at the end of the film like
hey,
that.
Hey, are you
yeah, actually. So that set up another thing.
We'll probably never see any of these. Like,
well, that's this bummer. Like, I can only hope. But like now too, now that he knows what he would have done, and like now that he said, like, yo, if this was what was going to happen, now we're not going to get that. Even if something by some miracle happens again, it'll have to be different.
Because like Warner Brothers owns DC, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Is DC like its own studio, like Marvel is, or
I don't think so.
Like, I don't know how any of this works.
I think it's the same way Disney now owns Marvel.
So it's like Warner Brothers owns Marvel, kind of the way.
I think so.
Or yeah. Disney owns. Or yeah. Okay.
Pretty sure. Could be wrong. Don't quote me though. But just like overall, there was like more fight scenes too, like we talked about. Like even like that throwback war. But then I'm pretty sure that entire Wonder Woman scene at the beginning wasn't in the original, right?
No, I it wasn't. Because I know for a fact that like, I remember I was like, no way in that movie did I remember a terrorist trying to shoot people
and Wonder Woman blowing her up.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think that happened.
Same thing though. Like during that fight, it was just so dope seeing Wonder Woman just like go ham.
Yeah.
And like just be Wonder Woman. Can we talk about why would you cut the scene where she tells little girl you can be anything? That was the most Wonder Woman scene I have ever seen. And Josh, he cut that out of the movie? Why?
That was good. I like that little scene. But that was just like so much more. There was more action when there was, and it was good. And then
the
exposition we needed.
When they kill Steppenwolf, the way they do it, like literally like Aquaman comes out of nowhere.
And Wonder Woman, I was like, she's not, just decapitates him. I was like,
that's where I was kind of like, I'm down for this. If DC is the kind of movies where I can see that actually happen, because that's never going to happen in a Marvel. Like, let's just say that for the record. That's never going to happen ever. If I can
Thor
see that,
literally decapitated,
and we didn't see anything. Yeah.
I mean, but like,
but we didn't see any of it.
You don't see the head rolling. You know,
yes, we do.
It was more implied.
She picks up his head.
It was more implied.
How do you mean it's more implied? Dude, literally chops.
I don't think she picks up his head. I think she just goes.
Yeah, she closes his eyes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, but like he's like,
y'all have
not
recency bias.
Even still, though,
no, it's not like,
no, don't start acting like DC is like an adult oriented movie.
I mean, I'm saying it could be. I kind of like that it has the blood, but I do hate the "I'm gonna fucking kill you." Like that is corny. Like leave that shit at the door. Like that has no place in. But that's just like bad writing. I think you can do it in a better way. I think because I think Marvel does it in some ways, but DC did not hit it with the "and I will fucking kill you."
Well, that's the big difference for me is I like the plot lines to DC films are so well. The plot lines to DC comics in general are just so much sicker than Marvel's. But the difference in Marvel and DC for me is Marvel's dialogue has just gotten so good over the years, and like how
just
to like build characters, and like they make me really care about characters. And DC hasn't really gotten the opportunity to really write the characters yet. So the dialogue is just eternally kind of butt tier in DC films. But I mean, if you gave Zack Snyder the chance, I feel like he could do the same thing, and I feel like he proved it with this movie personally.
Yeah, and I think if you were like, "Zach, dude, like, we need these in 2.5 hours. I don't think he would have to be like, "I need another 4 hours." I think he'd be like, "Look, I only made that movie 4 hours because that's what they fucking made me do. I had to make it in 4 hours." Like, I think if they're like, "Zach, we'll give you 2.5 hours to go on your Dark Apocalypse, whatever it is," because I'm sure it's some comic book he's trying to follow that has been written. I love the movie. I wouldn't give it a 9, but it did what a movie was supposed to do, and it fucking entertained the shit out of me.
Did you know, fun fact, I think currently it is the second highest rated IMDb superhero movie, only behind The Dark Knight.
Really?
God.
And if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, I think it has a 97% audience score, and critics are almost 80%.
I really enjoyed it. It made me want more DC, and it made me feel DC was actually on the level of Marvel. It did. Like, I was like, holy shit. I can see my favorite heroes, how the people who see their favorite Marvel superheroes see them. Like, Spider-Man, dude, give me a Martian Manhunter movie, dude, and he'll kill it. And everybody will love Martian Manhunter. Like, sure, everybody like Martian Manhunter, but everybody did that with Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's just kind of the steps.
Beast Boy win? That's the real question.
And Teen Titans, if we're talking Teen Titans, I like Cyborg. Cyborg was my favorite.
Teen Titans movie, dude.
That'd be sick.
Isn't there a Teen Titan, but it's really cringe? Like, fuck Batman.
Well, yeah, like, there's like guy? A TV like, show or something. Yeah. I didn't even bother with that one.
We don't need to talk about that. That doesn't exist.
DC TV shows are a pretty big miss, I believe. I don't.
They were. That was not the sentiment years ago. People were like, DC television, ooh, so good. And
yeah, I guess there was that Gotham like one. I felt like I heard that Gotham was actually pretty decent. That TV show.
Yeah, and then we started getting like new CW DC, and it kind of ruined it. But I mean, you know, here we are.
I did watch Green Arrow or whatever his name is. The first few seasons, it wasn't that bad.
Well, it was a good. Well, I mean, like back in the day, that was like holy shit. We've never gotten a superhero TV show.
Yeah,
like
that was one of the first.
And then I didn't keep up with the later seasons or any of the other ones they came out with. But
back in the day, DC TV was the heat, and now it's Well, it's about the same tier as DC movies. Pre Snyder cut. But
this made me feel like they can be there and be better. I am more interested in what DC had, like where that universe was going, than where Marvel is going currently. 100%. And that, but that I'm a big DC fanboy.
Yeah, I mean,
we also don't really know where Marvel's going right now.
Marvel's in the limbo. It almost seemed like Scarlet Witch is going to be like the next big. That's how I took that as, is that the Scarlet Witch is going to be the next big villain.
This continues to be the difference, is Marvel, you don't know exactly where they're going with the next thing, but they're still building these characters piece by piece. And it matters so much because when it happens, like it depresses me. I'm never going to get like a Captain America raising the hammer moment in DC. I became an 8-year-old child when
still like the most hype
when
moment
he
ever.
Picked up that hammer. Like that was like top 5 hype moments of my life. And like it could happen in DC where like
just we don't know what that
no comic book spoilers because I fucking have I've read way too many of these comics and if they ever do it in cinema, like it would be tight. But like I love DC comics so much and I just wish
it's so hard though to like you have to make the comparison. But it's unfair, again, to be like, well, this is where Marvel sits. And again, it's because Marvel's been going since 2008.
Marvel has been cranking, working at this for a long time.
They have like,
to get these 8-year-old reactions out of you.
They have like Whereas 16 Warner Bros. Plus was like, and...
Warner Bros. Was like, yeah, fucking, blow our loads on the sickest DC storylines immediately without context.
I mean,
it doesn't work.
Yeah. They've made some fumbles. So that's why, like, even if you have to reboot it, that's fine. But I want to live in a world where we have the Marvel Universe thriving and the DC Universe thriving.
Yes.
And they can thrive on their own. You don't have to. Yeah. You don't. But then I get to enjoy both. And I know there are people out there, like my older brother, for instance, is like, there's nothing to watch. I hate superhero movies. And I understand you guys. But I
don't
love
understand
them.
You at all.
Yeah, but I'm a nerd, and there are a lot of people out there. It's more so. It's
hey,
not even
some
nerd
people
anymore.
Like slice
it's just
of life, Mr. Fruit. You know,
yeah, it's true. But so, like, I'm in the group. It's like some people are like another superhero movie's coming out. I'm like another superhero movie's coming out. Like, let's get it.
And DC movies can be on Marvel par. Like we've seen Shazam. I don't know if you guys have seen Shazam or if you're listening to this, if you've seen Shazam, great movie. I loved that movie. Probably under Justice League, my favorite DC movie.
I still think Wonder Woman, the original one.
That's
aside from this, probably.
It's a good one.
Probably my favorite.
And then Aquaman
original
probably
Wonder
like
Woman's still my favorite.
So you liked Wonder Woman more than the Justice League Blue?
First Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah. No, as like a standalone movie, like I still think the original Wonder Woman's a better film.
The banger. But
like that's probably the only movie where I was like, they got me care about characters. Like they set up some good world building. The dialogue was real good. Like Diana, she really sold me. Like Gal Gadot really sells Wonder Woman, like being a baby in this new world.
I wish Wonder Woman 2 was like that.
Yeah,
we don't talk about Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be better.
It's just good, but it could be better. See, it's just a bummer that I enjoyed it so much. Like I went in with zero expectations. I hadn't been reading about it. I knew it was going to be just woefully long and some reshoots. And this was his vision. That's all I knew. It's all I wanted to know. So I went in, no preconceptions, nothing. And I walked out like that was sick.
That was sick.
And so for me, I rated it so highly. One, because it was a 4-hour movie. And
that's hard to do.
I sat the whole way through like, I was seriously like the epilogue. Claire's like, this is a really long epilogue. I was like, show me more scenes. More scenes. Like, don't let it stop. Yeah, I was like, shut up, I want more. And so that alone, especially because recently I haven't been able to like watch movies, have them capture my attention at all. So that's part of it. And then again, I love DC. And then seeing it all come together. And then again, the way I think with the exposition they gave, with the way they set up the final battle with Superman, with like actually fleshing out some of the characters, the action scenes, like all around, honestly, for me, I think the pacing was good too, which is hard to do in a 4-hour movie, but it felt like it came, like,
all right,
nothing took too long, nothing was too short. Oh.
Let me give you a scenario. Okay. Warner Brothers mm-hmm. is like, hey, Zach, we're sorry, dude. We really messed up. I'm sorry. Okay. Give him the chocolates, a letter, handwritten, everything. We're sorry. Okay. Because I know there's a ton of other stuff that happened with Zach and his personal life and all that while he was making Justice League and why he stopped, all that kind of stuff. Let's say they fix that bridge and they mend it and they go, we'll give you the Kevin Feige role. Do you think he takes it? Do you think we could see that? Could that happen?
I mean, I think
they give him the Feige role and he builds it, you know, like he just finds the directors, he casts, you know, he just has that kind of puppet master, kind of what Kevin Feige seems to do.
I think he would. I think that's what they need. First and foremost is to figure out what their tone is. Because like Marvel has obviously found their tone, pretty lighthearted, comedic, but at necessary times, like intense action.
Yeah, can get pretty real pretty quick.
But for the most part, like they have a lot of humorous moments and they crack jokes and stuff.
It's Disney.
Yeah, it's meant for the intention is for you to come out feeling good, except for Infinity War, which left you feeling soul crushed.
But that was the point too.
But that's the point. You feel things when you come out of those movies.
And so if you look across most of the movies, though, they've pretty much kept that. Like that's what I'm saying. Like a new Marvel movie comes out. At this point, it's like, never heard of these people in the Marvel Universe, but sure, I'm going to go see it because
fuck
I know
yeah,
what
I'm
going to
go watch it.
Yeah, I know what I'm getting myself into. So I think they need to nail that first and foremost with the DC movies.
Like if a Green Lantern movie's coming out, people will just be like, yeah, sure, I'll go see the Green Lantern.
And I'm not saying they have to replicate what Marvel's doing. In fact, I think what separates them a little bit is that they're a little darker. But
there
still
is an audience for that.
And I still think it does need some, like for me, like the moment the Flash is in slow-mo and sees Superman going and he's just like, whoa, like that was funny to me. Like I don't need as much Marvel punchiness, like haha moments for it to be like, it to just feel exhausting to me. Cause like, I know with some people they'll say like, if it's just serious all the time, I feel exhausted or drained. Yeah. Like I honestly think Justice League had a pretty good tone. They could keep something like that. That's the first thing you got to find out. And then the second one is work on your universe and commit to it, because doing two movies and then our Avengers movie, like that doesn't work.
Yeah, you need to have
Feige. It could be a gamble, but then again, not really, because you sell merchandise, because merchandise makes like a million times more. And then commit to it and be like, hey, here's our 10-year plan. We're going to actually let things brew, give it the right amount of time, and set something up, something our own. And I mean, like hearing Zack Snyder's vision, seeing how he set this up, do I agree with everything? No. But yeah, like sounding like what he had in plan for this whole vision arc and stuff, that sounded cool.
Well, and like with the Martian Manhunt at the end of the movie going like, well, now like I have something in stake too. And it's like, okay, well, what does he have in stake? Like, I want to find out what his, like, why he's fighting. And then by the end of it, they have everybody in the Justice League. Like, they were just alluding to so much. Like, they were getting a new house, and then like they're like, but more. Like, we can fit more here.
Well, and then we talked about the Joker-Batman scene, but as a whole, that came from the nightmare, which was the biggest delusion. Like, is that... So it seemed like that was another
premonition.
What is
a nightmare? Is that, like, an actual, like, comic or something? Like, or are you just saying nightmare from, like...
That's what they're calling it. Okay. So, but, like, night as in, like... K. They're calling it like the Dark Knight, the nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Cause he had a nightmare in the first one, and that's when he was like in the desert and it was bizarre and it was super out of place. So he had it again, but this time at the very end, and so it seems like he's essentially seen this is what the future is gonna look like. And so at that point you're like, what the fudge happened? Why is he teaming up with Deathstroke, Joker? The Johnny Depp's woman. Terrible ex-wife or whatever, and
Amber Heard, I believe,
yeah, and the other person instead of everyone else. And then obviously
she says Aquaman died, like,
yeah, well, he's dead
at some point.
Superman obviously shows up and he's just gone berserk, and then doesn't he fly away with like Batman's head at the end or something? Something like
no,
that.
No, that was like
was that when they were
Cyborg saw. Yeah, that's Cyborg, what Cyborg saw. Yeah. And Cyborg was like, no, like, don't do that. And then he was like, go.
But so, like, you have to think what in the world happened. And Joker saying that it was Batman's fault. So I'm thinking it has to do something with Lois Lane. And so you're like, how in the world is this going to unfold? And we'll probably never find out. So,
Sag.
Unlucky.
All around, go see it. I recommend it. I highly recommend it. If you have nothing to do,
if you're a DC
see it.
Fanboy, you got it. You definitely got to go see it. Like, it's if you like DC, you're going to love it.
And
maybe not love it, but you're definitely going to have fanboy moments.
But if you've seen the other DC movies and were disappointed, I don't think this one will disappoint like those other ones did.
Yeah.
So at the very least, and it's a long movie, he even separates it into parts. So just you can like watch an hour and a half at a time or whatever. But for me, that I started it and then I finished it. At no point was I, like checked out. So, so long story short, Blue liked it, wasn't crazy about it. He had some parts that he obviously, a lot of the core things that Justice League did wrong, still did wrong to him, right? Am I more or less getting it right? Okay.
Yep.
Rob, solid, cared a lot more about it, would have liked to see where it went. Hated the aspect ratio, though. And
I can't stand that. It's just like I'm watching on a TikTok.
But all in all, he liked it, and on the Rob scale, pretty high.
Very high.
And then for me, I don't know, it's one of the most fun. Here's the thing, too, is one point in my life, I was like also wanting to become like a director myself. And I love movies, and I was like a critic. And so when I would rate things, it'd be entirely different. And now it's like, did I have fun? Did I enjoy my time? I thoroughly enjoyed my time. That was one of the most.
You had a good time?
Yeah, it was one of the best movies I think I've seen in a while. And so I'm going to rate like 9 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. Does it have its problems? Yes. But I'm probably a little more lenient on my ratings too. So I liked it. We all liked it for the most part. And the internet, that's what Claire was saying, was she was like, but I'm seeing everywhere. And like most of the mainstream media outlets are like bashing it, which is so strange because then I go to Rotten Tomato and the aggregate score of critics is almost fresh. Mm-hmm. The audience almost 100% overwhelmingly liked it. So it's just so bizarre. It still seems to be kind of polarizing. And like even Sonic and Dork were both kind of like, we didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I'm almost interested to hear, why they just didn't like it at all. I don't know. I'm not saying they're wrong. But just from where I was coming from and knowing the DC universe where it was, more or less, I was surprised.
I left the movie more interested in the DC universe than going in.
100%. Like, when they said the DC universe was, like, canceled or whatever, I was sad because I like the heroes, but it wasn't like, man, we're missing out on whatever we could have gotten.
Yeah.
Now after that, now I'm bummed. Like, oh, wait, I actually would have liked to see where this went. I would have liked to see them recast Lex Luthor. But
Jesse Eisenberg was a weird choice.
I'll still stand on the hill or die on the hill that it should have been Bryan Cranston. I see, like, he could be the best Lex Luthor, I think.
That would be really cool. Really, it's practically Heisenberg. I feel like people would see bald, Bryan Cranston and just go Heisenberg.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we practically saw him in what I would like to see Lex Luthor portrayed as almost. Like a ruthless businessman kind of thing.
Yeah, but isn't Lex Luthor supposed to be kind of buff though? But I guess this version wasn't either.
Well, in this one, he's like a young tech. I don't know. There's several different iterations. Yeah.
Is there anything else we want to touch on before Patreon questions?
Have you guys seen Falcon and Winter Soldier?
No.
What the fuck?
I haven't seen it yet.
It premiered today though. Have you seen
it? We'll talk about it. I have seen it.
Okay, well, then just
talk about next week.
Yeah, rough impression. You enjoy it? You like it?
I should watch it?
Absolutely. Well, I have feelings for Marvel characters. I can't, like, Marvel just knows how to write good characters.
Are you a Marvel or DC guy, Blue?
I'm a whoever makes poggers content, and right now it's hard. Right now, it's hard not to be a Marvel fanboy, like with what they're doing. No one's ever. DC could, but no one, like, what Marvel's accomplished.
Yeah.
And how they're bringing all the, how they're bringing all these characters together, and that how I honestly wasn't sold on these TV shows when I first heard about them. I mean, I was hyped for WandaVision, but like Marvel just gotten so good at writing characters that I'm just sold on everything they do now.
Compared to the WandaVision pilot, how would you compare it?
I think it was better than the WandaVision pilot, but that's only because WandaVision was meant to be like a very slow burn.
Yeah. That makes sense. And this one has like four less. Wasn't WandaVision 10 episodes or eight?
Nine episodes.
And then we get this Loki right after this.
This one's six episodes. Yeah, Loki's coming soon. Their whole timeline's messed up too, the way they wanted to release things. Like WandaVision was technically, I think we talked about this, technically supposed to come out
in November. Like,
yeah, right before the new Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But speaking of TV series, I also just found, I must have closed it. Or wait, yeah, a new headline. HBO is tripling down on Game of Thrones with three more spinoffs.
Why?
Three more spinoffs. And
I forgot Game of Thrones existed after
that. Dude,
that
universe is so big, though, and George R. R. Martin has gone so detailed into it.
What these shows currently are planned to be. So the first working title is 10,000 Ships. Oh. Nope. 10,000 Ships. It follows Princess Nymeria, an ancestor of House Martell and founder of the Kingdom of Dorne. It's set a millennium before the events of Game of Thrones, making an exploration of much older mythos than the Westeros timeline. That's cool. The second project is set in Flea Bottom, obviously in King's Landing. And then the final project is being developed by Rome creator Bruno Heller with the working title Nine Voyages. The series would follow Lord Corlys Velaryon, also known as the Sea Snake and the head of the House of Velaryon.
Interesting.
So those are the three we have, all prequels. It's interesting. It's that must mean that they're, whatever they're seeing of their other spinoffs,
they're going to have an Avengers Game of Thrones moment.
You imagine. But...
it's not going to mean shit.
They've had at least that one or two other prequels, though, in production for a while. So it's making me think that they're, whatever they're seeing, they're believing in. And they're like, we're tripling down. Let's go even deeper. That's what it seems like. And that gives me hope that, you know, whatever we're going to get is fire. Because as we know, Game of Thrones can't be fuego.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, I'm all for more content in... Game of Thrones, I kind of put like, I wouldn't say high fantasy, put like, it's like low fantasy.
You mean that you wouldn't put high fantasy, dude? It's like there's wizards, there's people coming from the dead. There's,
I'd still put like mid fantasy though. High fantasy though is like,
you're thinking high fantasy like space sci fi?
No, I'm thinking like you've got like spell casting wizards everywhere and like a whole bunch more magic.
You do!
Not really. What wizard is there?
And like you've seen it at Karth when she shows like, and there's like a warlock there. There's warlock temples. All you have to do is study that.
I would consider Game of Thrones high fantasy.
See, I think it's more low-key high fantasy.
Well, I mean, it's still high fantasy. It's just high fantasy with a little like the, you know, the magical aspect being a little like, rarer.
With a like, I guess 10%.
I guess I should say I see high fantasy as having a lot more magic.
Yeah.
And so there's like magic working, but it's not stuff like you really see like Jon Snow obviously coming back or like White Walkers. Or the most we saw was that season two or whatever where she gives birth to that demon?
I would say by the last two seasons it's high fantasy. Yeah.
It's fucking kids out of there like, help!
Yeah, I remember watching. I was in a dorm and I hadn't caught up on Game of Thrones and... this is when I first met Claire there. Like, people were watching this, and I was like, what have I missed? I was like, I told him about, like, three episodes. Like, what happened?
That's funny.
But yeah.
So. Patreon questions?
Patreon questions.
Or am I missing anything?
No.
I don't think there's anything. Oh,
Evo getting acquired by Sony.
Oh, jeez.
Is that bad or good?
Bad.
Fighting guys. Bad?
For me, it's
could
bad.
Could be good, could be bad. Rip Melee, that's never coming back now.
Well, see, I looked this up so that I have something prepared. Nintendo has provided a statement regarding Sony's acquisition of the Evolution Championship Series. Nintendo has enjoyed engaging with fans at past Evo tournaments and wish the show organizers the best with their new venture. We will continue to assess Evo and other opportunities as we plan for future online and offline Super Smash Bros. Tournament activity. AKA, just like usual, we're getting nothing.
Later, losers.
Yeah, so we're Sony. No way we're getting an Evo anymore.
Sony did say that they had no problem having third party games.
Yeah, but so, Nintendo's the problem.
Yeah, but Nintendo's lives in the dark times.
Yeah, they live in a different world, dude. They're like, we don't. They're probably just like, we don't want to be associated with Sony.
Yeah.
So best case, we get some Smash Ultimate. Worst case, we don't get anything besides titles that show up on the PS platform.
Look, I'm gonna say it, and it's gonna sound stupid, but the thing I probably miss the most in quarantine is watching in person Smash tournaments.
Dude, every
it bums me out so much. That was my favorite thing to do in the weekend. Yeah.
Yes.
Just watch a Smash tournament. It didn't matter what
the whole weekend. Yeah, just
anything, watch matches. Like any fighting game, like I. Mostly Smash, but like if Melee was on, I'd watch some Melee. If Ultimate Tourney, I'd get hype.
And then if they were like,
you don't watch online?
No, it's not the same. It would be it if we had online that people wanted to play, then yeah, it would be fun to watch.
But see, even though, even for me though, part of it too is like seeing players in person,
yeah,
having the crowd, like. It yeah. just feels Pop like, offs. Yeah, it just has this like completely different feeling.
Agree.
And it sounds so dumb, but yeah, I've missed that so much. Like, I would really take that back too, first yeah. than being able to go back to my gym. That's how much
same.
I miss
same, 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 same.
Well, I'm glad you would give up my gym thing.
No, I'd give up, like, I would give up something.
You give up Dr. Pepper?
Fuck, what do I do? I would give up Dr. Pepper.
Would you give up DoorDash? For having Melee back or you having
get, okay, never mind. I won't give up Dr. I won't give up Dr. Pepper. I would give up DoorDash if there I could get go. some tournaments every couple weekends.
Thank you for your sacrifice,
Mr. Fruit. I was tested this week with DoorDash and stuff.
You didn't reinstall?
I did not. I drove every fucking place when we wanted food. Right. I drove.
That's right.
That's why yesterday Ooh. Blue was like, "I need your info," and I was like, "I'm driving from Chipotle right now. Give me a little bit."
Good for you.
Yep.
I still not downloaded. So,
okay, yeah,
I'm clean.
Yep, deleted. Z-Dog week has a question. Says for Rob, Kingdom Hearts was my favorite series for a lot of my life, but I only got through a few hours of three before losing motivation to quit due to its flaws and non-challenging gameplay and the singing and dancing crap. That's the only time
I see Rob's eye twitching. Kingdom Hearts.
Do you
3.
Think it's so worth funny. Giving it another go? Did you ever go back and finish it? No, I never went back.
Still, so funny. How every time I tuned into Rob playing that game,
it was some stupid just fucking mini
square
game.
Dancing. He's skateboarding or snowboarding with something. He's like doing Pilates in space
from
or
a
something.
Robot thing.
Yeah, yeah, I was just like,
I was like, I swear it's not like this.
Yeah, every like, time he's like, dude, I swear. Like, and the third time he's like, bro, I swear, okay.
And then like the fourth time I was like, okay, it's just this. I don't know. I've heard it's better. I haven't gone back and probably won't go back. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe one of these days when I'm bored, I'll go back. I have no desire, though. In Pasta of Haiku asks, for the boys, if you took the trip to Hawaii, if you got to go swimming with the sea life between sea turtles, dolphins, seals, or cage diving with sharks, which would you pick and why?
Absolutely not cage diving with sharks.
Yeah.
Also not dolphins. Dolphins.
What?
Dolphins will fuck you, dude.
Nah, I like dolphins.
Whatever.
I would pick the dolphins.
Whatever's not deep water. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree.
I 100% seals would be tight. I 100% have lassophobia. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah, I want to chill with seals. I would not chill with dolphins. Dolphins will literally bone you. Dolphins are more dangerous than sharks, I'm pretty sure.
They're messed up, dude.
Yeah,
some of the stuff they do to each other. Stuff too, yeah. Because they're so smart and they're bored, dude. They're like, what are we doing in this water? If only we had posable thumbs.
Oh, my God. If dolphins had opposable thumbs, we'd be done.
The world.
Humanity
yeah.
would be Roots. Over.
Shark Boy. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to go into a stupid thing where they...
Tangent about dolphins.
Yeah, where they land ashore.
All right,
they...
Shark Boy asks, if you had to drink a gallon of something other than water a day, what would you choose?
Water. Anything other than Kool-Aid. Water?
I don't even know if I could do that.
I feel like that would just be like a huge health hazard.
Kool-Aid, because it's like just sugar water. Like,
and imagine like
I still
a gallon
get it
of
in my
soda.
Water.
Ugh, I love soda, but a gallon of soda a day, I would throw up.
At that point, it wouldn't be like carbonated throughout the day. Like at some point, it would be flat.
I'm going to assume this is like if you don't do this, you'll die. So I'm going to say, give me whatever zero calories so I can actually get through it in a day.
Oh, like, there's no way water easy.
Yeah, there's no way you're getting through a gallon of soda.
Oh, but does that count as water? Shit.
Yeah, I would pick like Propel flavored water. You know, like there's like a Propel that's like a really kind of substitute of water. It's like 20 calories or something. I'd probably pick that. They're tasty.
Oh, that's a good question. There's no drink I like enough to drink a gallon a day of aside from water. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I don't want my stomach to hate me. I don't know if there's anything I would.
Imagine I drink this much soda a day, dude. Okay? Think about that. I'd be impressed.
Like, I look at that. That's a lot of water.
I love other drinks besides water as like a little treat for myself, you know? Little Dr. Pepper. Like, I did good today. I'm going to give myself a little Dr. Pepper. Ooh. But not, I'm going to chug this gallon of Dr. Pepper today. I don't know, dude.
I don't really have an answer.
If I had to choose, it'd be like fucking like Gatorade or something that actually
did
something for me.
Let's assume whatever you're drinking, you like it and you don't have to worry about health hazards.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I'd say like Coke, sure.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper. If that was
if I don't have to worry about all the logistics, then
yeah.
That. Mommy asks, "Hi, Blue.
Hi,
Evangelion
Mom.
Final movie is coming out.
Any
intention of watching it? It's a four-part
absolutely
movie. Also, between the TV series and the movie remake, which one do you like the most? It's rumored that the TV series got its funding cut from sponsors due to a disagreement, so the TV series really wasn't what it was envisioned. This movie is
I'm definitely more excited for the movie than anything. I don't pay too much attention to like the news stories behind Evangelion, but whatever comes out, I'm going to watch. And everyone should watch this series because it's actually really, really good and has a lot of really important commentary on not just the human condition, but society.
Okay. Tally asks, "All right, boys, strap yourselves in because this is going to be a long one. So I was inspired by the question from last week of which superpower do you wish you had, and it got me thinking. While in theory, invisibility and teleportation are nice, they don't work as well in a practical sense. So because of this, I ask, what are your thoughts on the power to manipulate probability? Essentially, let's say Blue wanted to end capitalism. What is the chance that capitalism would be gone by tomorrow? 0%? Let's make it 100%. I'm just curious on your thoughts of the viability of the concept."
See, that's just cheating, though.
Way too overpowered. Then,
yeah, that's way too
What's the probability that the human race is a race tomorrow? 100%.
What's the probability that I win the lottery tomorrow and then every other lottery? Oops.
What's
now
the
I'm
probability
rich?
That GME is going to moon? 200%.
Yeah. God, dude. That's way too overpowered. That's like at that point you're just like at that point you're going into real life with creative mode. Like you're
well, because like what are the limits? Though? Let's say Superman's coming at me. I'm like, what are the probability that Superman's going to hit me? 100%? 0%. You know, like. Everything's really a probability, pretty much, if you think about it. What are the odds I'm going to die? What's the probability I'm going to die? 0%, 100%. I feel like that probably most OP thing, because you can literally just affect everything.
That's a good superpower. It's like that in Deadpool. She's like, I'm just lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least she can't, like, control it and control...
Manipulate the
Yeah, manipulate right. other things.
Yeah. That's a good, like... superpower, I guess, in the sense of being broken, if that's what you're going for.
It would have to be like a monkey's paw, like,
yeah.
But it's only things you could touch, or only one probability, or maybe you can only affect probability by X percent, so like 1% change or something like that.
Yeah. If the Dream Team was in the Friday the 13th series, who would most likely to survive and who wouldn't? Mr. Fruit would survive because anything he just run.
Mr. Fruit would survive because he would like immediately drive off
no,
in the nearest car.
I gotta be honest with you all. I'm kind of more of a fight than flight.
So if you saw Jason Voorhees coming at you with a machete, you're
I straight up think I'm dying. Yeah, because I'm like,
Oh, see, I'm flight. See ya, dude. I know I'm faster.
Yeah, I'm flight. See ya.
I'm like square up, Jason. Oh. And then I'm dead.
Thanks, Mr. Fruit.
Well, never mind. Okay, I vote me and Rob.
Because, yeah, like you know, like when you like when you're a little kid, and you'd like turn the lights off and run away.
Yeah.
You know, right? Or like you trying to go to the stairs real quick. I would do that and just clench my fist, but like, try me. I'd be like scared, but I'm like, come at me, ghost.
You see, I'm gonna
throw hands, baby.
You see, I used to be that way, but like as I got older, I was just like, whatever. If they kill me, then fucking do it, dude. Fucking
there's no fight or fight. It's just.
I'm just like, do it right now, dude. Just fucking end it then. If you're gonna fucking do it, do it, dude.
Do it, Jason. If you're gonna do it, do it. Come on.
But if, but in the event that I know I can, like, I see him and I have that opportunity, like, yeah, I'm gonna run away.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'm first to die. I'm gonna be honest.
Tapiv asks, someone found out that Daddy Pig from Peppa Pig or Peppa Pig is 14 feet 2 inches tall. What for reference, Snorlax is 6'11". Do you think Daddy Pig would be able to beat Snorlax in a fight, and what Pokemon would be able to take him down? I think Palkia is the only one I would be able to imagine would take down Daddy Pig.
No, it's fucking
how big
Snorlax.
Is Palkia?
Snorlax would just Hyper Beam that dude. That's easy.
Yeah, what is Peppa Pig gonna
like
do?
14 feet.
Peppa the Pig's dad's gonna be like, "Hey, let me teach you a life lesson." Snorlax gonna be like, "I can't hear him."
Yeah, I don't know what his profession is. You know, I don't know what Peppa dad does for a living.
You don't know.
He could be a badass.
Personally, I'd probably bring like Machamp with a low sweep, and he's done.
But he's 14 feet, yo.
Yeah, but his extra weight, it's going to do more damage, dude. That's what low sweep does.
I'm bringing Palkia. I don't know how big Palkia is. He looks huge.
I'm going to bring Arceus. Ha.
I was going to say that. It's cheating.
I'll just bring the god of Pokemon. Why not? Or Ditto. And then we can have a face-off.
Oh.
Peppa the Pig Dad versus Peppa the Pig Dad Ditto.
Mirror match.
Yeah. I would flex on him. I would flex on him, and I would bring a shiny Ditto.
Oh, shiny.
Oh, so shiny, yeah, Peppa the Pig Dad.
I wonder what shiny Peppa the Pig Dad looks like.
Now that's an extra layer. There's layers to this shit.
Yeah.
Papa Dadams asks, what other franchise do you think would be good to be Schneidered? I personally would be up for a super dark, depressing Pokemon 4-hour epic.
No.
No, there's like nothing I don't think could benefit from a 4-hour movie. There's not many things.
Game of Thrones.
Maybe Halo, and I just say that because I'm a big Halo fanboy.
I'll say like Halo, Game of Thrones,
or Assassin's Creed.
Game of Thrones should get Snyder cutted with the Snyder cut with George R. R. Martin's cut.
Yeah, give George R. R. Martin enough money to remake the last two seasons.
Yes, please. Sick. That's the Snyder cut I want.
That was fucked,
the Martin cut.
It would frame into the chair, and they'd be like, "This chair is so nice." So, like, I don't want to know about
there's
the
just
chair.
A narrator
George.
Sitting there, and they approach the room. It's like, George, visually, I can see. I don't need you to.
I don't need you to tell me what's in the room, George. I see it.
He's like, "Oh, sorry."
Z Train asks, "What do you think about the announcement of the My Hero collectible card game?" I saw
somebody mention. I forgot to like look into it.
I saw it. I didn't see what any of the shinies or
yeah. What are the super rares like?
Yeah, like I just want to know what the super rares look like. And actually, if I had Christian nearby and he had the card game, I would actually learn how to play.
When
I don't know what the mechanics are. If it's actually a collectible, like oh, this is All Might and he does this attack, or if it's like just collecting.
I'm trying to see if I can I don't know if I can find a picture of the card. Like I don't
go to dicebreaker.com/game/myhero. It's in the Q&A if you just scroll down. Like he linked it in the Q&A thing.
Let me see. Let's see what we're working with here. Competitors will bring a customized 51 card deck designed around specific heroes, such as the always smiling All Might protagonist, Izuki Midoriya, or his friend and rival, Katsuki Bakugo.
Hey, it looks cool. I don't know if I'll play it, but I mean, maybe I'll buy some packs.
Yeah, like I still haven't seen a card, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes, just
yeah,
just
I would love to
see
what the card art would look like. Yeah, that is probably really important, but maybe I'll buy some packs and fuck around. Buy some first editions and never open them.
Looks cool, I guess. I don't know.
I like card games. Yeah.
Card games are tight.
I just have no one to play them with.
Free Will asks, if you could banish one Pokemon from Gen 8, which would it be?
Gen 8. Oh.
I don't know Gen 8.
I don't know if I want a Gen... I don't know.
Can someone give me a Gen 8 Pokemon 8. So I can have a reference?
It's the newest one, Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
I put one in the Discord just now, or in the DMs that I don't understand. Flapple? I don't like Flapple.
What a Flapple?
So it's an apple.
No, yeah, it's a fucking apple dragon.
Yeah, he's dragon type because he's a worm. He's like a worm in an apple, yeah. But W-Y-R-M.
It's so hilarious. It's a pun? No.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I know who I'd banish. I'd banish no Sobble's final Evo, and hopefully we get a different one.
Yup, get Inteleon out. Listen, Cinderace has grown on me. Inteleon still has not.
Yeah, Cinderace?
Inteleon still
is
not.
Is pretty okay. Grookey's still goated.
Grookey's.
Inteleon's still trash. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like Rillaboom, down for it. Honestly, looking at
the list, talking about the really like tall, skinny,
like honestly, looking at 8th gen for the most part, I think they did a really good job with this gen. Maybe like, see, I don't really have anything wrong with it, but I guess Milcery or Alcremie is just kind of weird, but. I don't really have a problem with their design.
Among Us, just so Shark wouldn't stop referencing that he loves that fucking card.
That's 5th gen, though.
No Among Us.
Yeah, like, I'm looking, aside from that, honestly, I really like, maybe, I don't know, Ice Cube's kind of cursed. I know Blue's going to be like, whoa.
What the fuck?
Dude, with that, I'm going to, Ice Cube the melted thing, that's cursed. With the big ice block, sick. But when he's got the little, with like the wispy.
I love Ice Cube.
That one's kind of cursed.
Yeah, well, you're cursed.
Fair enough.
Oh, like when he has a little oval head?
Yeah. Like big ice block? That's.
Why does it have a penguin body?
Well, it is a penguin. But it just has an ice block stuck on his head.
Yeah. With the ice block, it's cool.
Yeah, but then with the. No. It's weird.
Last question here from Derps asks, I just ordered a new gaming PC and haven't had one in about 10 years. Any suggestions on games I must try? Side note, I have kids and sadly do not have the time to sink in into Final Fantasy.
Let me just stop.
With having kids.
Yeah, Blue's like, all right, I'm out. I got enough for you.
Destiny 2. No joke.
If I'm thinking like I have kids and I don't have a ton of time to put into gaming. What do I want to play?
I would have to think of just games I play, which aren't very good for casual. Valheim is, if you like sandbox, you can just chip away at that. You know, play around in Viking World. Temtem, if you like monster collecting. Loop Hero is like a fun, do one loop kind of thing.
I'm thinking like Slay the Spire, but that's you play that on anything.
Well,
like,
I would say, that's true, yeah. Because, like, what is a game that is, like, a must-play if you only have a PC?
Yeah.
But it's also...
But then, like, my suggestions for that are, like, VR games. But, like, you have to have a VR headset, too, for those. Because that's where I only feel like you can't... That's where you get the PC gaming experience, is, like, with VR and stuff like that.
I would say try MOBAs, but games last a while. And on top of that, it takes a while to learn.
CSGO I would recommend, but then again, like, I've sunk 700 hours into CSGO and I blow. Like,
that is a great question for our viewers to help you with, because we clearly cannot. Sorry.
And that's the last question. And so I believe that'll do it for the podcast today.
We'll do it for episode 77.
Thank you guys for listening to episode 77.
Shout out to Zack Snyder for the director's cut.
Where can people find you on the internet, Blue?
You guys can find me everywhere at Ohmwrecker.
You guys can find me everywhere. Please watch this Zack Snyder movie and tweet that we want this to keep happening and keep it alive.
And you can find me everywhere at spam Twitch, telling them to get me in contact with somebody because they keep dodging me.
Dodging?
Yeah. I kind of told you about that.
Yeah.
Don't actually, though. Yeah. I don't want to send people over. But... That's this episode. Right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Also, apologies on the mix up with the last episode.
Yeah, just there was the mad stuff
going on in the background. Don't worry about it. We'll see you then. Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.